And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number one. And welcome on this Independence Holiday, July 4th, Mr. Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, website columbusconstruction.org. And you can find them on X at Build Central OH. And every time I talk to Dorsey, something else is popping up in Central Ohio. I know this is a holiday. Appreciate you coming to the table today to talk about organized labor in Central Ohio. How are we doing today? Happy July 4th, brother. How are we doing?
Doing great. Happy Independence Day. I know everybody has mixed feelings on different holidays, you know, Halloween, Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving. But honestly, even since I was a small kid, I don't know if it's the fireworks. I don't know if it's the grilling out. I don't know if it's because I'm such a baseball fan. And my father always took me to local minor league games and stuff on 4th of July. But 4th of July is my favorite holiday. Always has been, always will. Can never be too hot for me. It can never be too humid. You know, the pool, the outdoor activities, just love it all. 4th of July is awesome. 4th of July is awesome. Favorite holiday. So happy Independence to you. Happy Independence to all the listeners. It's an incredible day.
It's so funny you mention Halloween as one of the, I guess the, it's not a holiday, but it is to kids. I just saw the other day, and I didn't realize this. My wife told me, she says, there's a bunch of Halloween stuff in the store. And I watched, this was on the Today Show. They created another holiday, Summerween. It's called Summerween. So they're celebrating Halloween in the summer just because kids love Halloween. So that's, it's too funny. It's too funny. That's another conversation. We have to talk about what's going on in Central Ohio. And I'm reading about the expansion of Building Futures with the First Church of God. Why don't you explain a little bit? We're always getting new listeners to the show, Building Futures. Why don't you give us a little background on that? And obviously, this is good news because being a good program, it's expanding. It's all yours, Dorsey.
Yeah, so Building Futures is a pre-apprenticeship program that the building trades established with the help of help and funding of Franklin County commissioners. Great commissioners there, Kevin Boyce, Erica Crowley, who's the president of County Commissioners this year, and John O'Grady. And what the role of the program was to sit down, work with members of the community, Nana Watson, president of the NAACP, Joy Bivens, Ken Wilson, directors and deputy directors there at Franklin County, and figure out a way that we can give more access and better access to people of color, residents of Franklin County, maybe who had issues, either failed to graduate from high school, needed some help getting their high school diploma, maybe had been, had some issues with driver's license, child support, stuff like that. How can we help them so we can make them employable, give them the soft skills needed? Or even citizens that have been previously incarcerated. And we established this program along with all the members of the Columbus Building Trades called Building Futures, where it's a 12-week program. We work on soft skills, conflict resolution. Then we go into some basic, some training with some electrical, some sheet metal, plumbing, pipe fitting, mechanical insulation, all the skills to expose everybody to what a career in the trades would look like. And then after successful graduation of the program, you have the opportunity to either apply directly for a trade or be placed with a trade, go right into a job that either puts you right into an apprenticeship or leads directly to an apprenticeship. We've had incredible success with this program since 2018. We've had partners from all across Columbus, Franklin County, even outside of Franklin County. We've talked about Intel and the chip plant. I've talked about First Church of God in the past, and they wanted to partner up more extensively with us on expanding this program to members of the Eastside community and also folks there at the First Church of God, which is a huge church there on the southeast side of Columbus. So we've been talking to them, working with them. We brought in Councilman Rob Dorns, who was able to help us establish a funding stream. And we're going to do a pilot cohort that's going to begin in September. We're looking at anywhere from 12 to 20 participants, get them the soft skills they need, the background, the wraparound services, so we can get them through the program and then get them placed directly into a trade. And as you know, with all the work and all the opportunities in Columbus and Central Ohio right now, not just what the county's doing with their MOU, their project labor agreement on the Early Childhood Learning Center, which I had tremendous meetings with Chris Long from the county and also our county commissioners. And I know it's a huge project that President of the County Commissioners, Erica Crowley, is very involved in and wants to see this thing take off and succeed. But you know, we also want to see members of our community being given the opportunity to work on this project. So I think Building Futures is going to help do that, along with all the other outreach that we're doing and all the other things we're doing. But, you know, like we've said on this, you know, Building Futures is great. It's a great program, but you got to have the jobs to put these folks in. And it looks like that, you know, the jobs and the opportunities, again, with the Early Childhood Learning Center that Franklin County is going to do, demolition of the existing jail downtown to make room for this. You know, City of Columbus with your new municipal courthouse, plus all the work going on in the tech center, you know, with Intel, Google, Facebook, Amazon. Looks like there's going to be plenty of opportunities for these folks, and we're going to definitely try to get them into the trades after they complete the program and get them out on one of these job sites, building one of these local projects. We're really excited about it.
Oh, you should be. You mentioned Intel. I have to bring it up. I don't think anything's changed, but you never know. I know it's been delayed. A big part of that is, well, a lot of legislation is being questioned right now in Washington, and that is the CHIPS Act. Are we still looking at like 2032 or something like that for the completion of that project?
Yeah, I would say the first fab's going to be summer of 2031, maybe quarter one of 2032. The second fab will probably be summer of 2032. We have a little over 1,200 folks out there right now. I think about $8 billion of the $28 billion worth of work has been completed. So what would that put the project at? About 30% done. Still a lot more to do, especially after you get the concrete fab walls poured and the roof and everything. There's a lot to do inside. I know you know this, Flash, because we've talked extensively about chip manufacturing and the tours I took of Intel, both out in Portland and Arizona. Like I continually say on your show, I've learned more about chip manufacturing than I probably ever thought I would learn when I first took this job 11 years ago. But it's all very interesting. It's very cool. It's going to be a huge economic driver. I think once we get to 27, 28, and we can see that first fab on the horizon being completed, I think that's when we'll be talking about a lot of suppliers coming to that area. But the AI and the data centers continues to crank here in Columbus and Central Ohio, which is great. You know, the Facebook, the Googles, the Amazon. Amazon just broke ground on a $1 billion campus in Marysville, south of Marysville in Union County where I live, which is great. Google just bought some more land in New Albany. I don't know if they're going to do some more there or if they're just holding on to it for now, but it's all very exciting. It's very interesting. And we have a very diverse economy here that creates a lot of opportunities for folks, which is very cool. You know, I sent you a little snippet on Hikma, which is a pharmaceutical manufacturer. They're going to expand their plant on the west side of Columbus. It's a $1 billion expansion. So you couple that with the $900 million expansion of Amgen. Pharmavite out in New Albany and Licking County is looking to add more. And we're hearing of another pharmaceutical company that's sniffing around Central Ohio to put their footprint here as well. So a lot of opportunities for a lot of folks here, and it's really exciting times.
Yeah, very exciting. Let's move on about this ordinance to make investments of $500,000 or more under prevailing wage. And, you know, I bring this up because here in Cleveland, similar legislation was passed, and the mayor pushed for it, Mayor Justin Bibb. So was that kind of like a model for what's happening in the city of Columbus then?
I think that definitely was. I think a little bit of what John Stifler, who runs the building trades in St. Louis, what he was able to accomplish a couple years ago, and also with what Cincinnati had done in the past, I think is going to help as well. And I think that Councilman Dorns looked at all of that. I know I had read through all of that when I first took this job and we had kind of talked about it. But, you know, there's a lot of investment. There's a lot of affordable housing. There's a lot of mixed use residential that's going on here in Columbus and Central Ohio. We've talked about the Easton area. We've talked about Polaris. We've talked about the Scioto Peninsula. A lot of these developers and a lot of these owners and end users come to the city of Columbus and they come to Franklin County and they ask for TIFs, they ask for tax incentives, and they asked for, you know, we talked about the North Market Tower, right? They asked for a direct contribution to help get the project started. Well, if we're going to do that, then let's do something on the back end like Mayor Bibb is doing in Cleveland. And then let's make sure that we're not only just giving these folks money to get the project done, but we're also doing it responsibly. And one good way to do that is tie prevailing wage to the project. And that ensures that everybody on the project, whether they're union or non-union, is going to make the area standard. They're going to have health care. They're going to have a pension. They're going to have an annuity, and they'll be able to take care of their family. And that's what we want to do. You know, a rising tide lifts all boats, and that'll definitely do that once this ordinance gets passed. And it'll guarantee that, you know, a North Market never happens again, you know, where we're building something that's a crown jewel of downtown, $312 million with no wage protections. And we've got out-of-state contractors and out-of-state workers coming and perform that work. So, you know, if the developers, the end users, the owners want the city and the county to come in and help with their project financially, then, you know, like I said, there should be something on the back end too. So that way all the citizens in Columbus and Central Ohio, you know, can take part in that investment.
This is such a simple, common sense type of conversation here. When you think about prevailing wage, obviously, if you are living and working in a city like San Francisco or Los Angeles, wages are higher there. In fact, they just raised wages. I think it was in San Francisco this week, and that was part of legislation. But if you're in a city like Cleveland or Columbus or Dayton, well, obviously the cost of living is not the same as it is on the West Coast or the East Coast. So you pay the prevailing wages in those areas, but contractors, they've been exploiting that for a long time. It's good to see that cities are moving in the right direction. If you're going to get the tax incentives, well, guess what? We want labor standards as well. All right, Dorsey Hager, our featured guest today, longtime supporter of America's Workforce. He serves as Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. We'll continue with him later in the show. It's our first Friday with Fred Redmond, Secretary Treasurer of the AFL-CIO, will be joining us on this July 4th edition of America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away. And don't forget, you can check us out on at least five platforms. That includes YouTube, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. And thank you for keeping and making America's Workforce now the number one union podcast in all of America for 2 years in a row. That's right, 2024 and 2025. We appreciate that. Featured guest today is Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Talk to me about the airport, and we had conversations. I know there's a bit of controversy about the airport over there, and apparently the CEO has retired. And, well, tell me about what's going on and give me an update on the airport. I know this was not a good thing. Did they start construction on that? It was a big, big renovation project, right?
Yeah. So they're doing the civil engineering part. They tore down some existing, not parking structures, but parking lots, that are going to make way for the new terminal. And they've started that. A lot of that work has gone union. You know, Eagle's out there, Beaver's out there doing a lot of excavating and all that stuff, which is great. They're about, I would say, about 9 months in now on a 4 to 5 year project. We're hearing, you know, obviously one of their concerns, and this came from the CEO, Joe Nardone, who last week announced his retirement. And a lot of folks within the city and the county knew that this was coming. You know, this was pretty obvious. But behind the heels on his announcing their retirement, there's rumblings throughout the city, rumblings throughout the county, that the project was not hitting their minority contractor goals that Joe Nardone, the CEO, and the board had set for Hensel Phelps and Elford. There's also rumblings that the project is already you know, over budget. I think it was right around $1.75 billion. And they're saying that it's already over budget. And Hensel Phelps and Matt McCauley and Jim Smith from Elford You know, that was their two biggest contentions about not wanting to agree to a PLA with the Columbus Building Trades, was that it would make the project go over budget, which we know is not true. Jobs that have project labor agreements on them, you know, typically come in on time and under budget, as many of our projects with the city and the county have done. And they also said that it would be near impossible to hit their minority outreach goals and their goals of minority contractor participation, which we know that's not true either. That's kind of a crutch that a lot of these contractors who are open shop contractors or tend to be ABC contractors tend to use to drive down wages on the people that are actually bidding the project. So, and a perfect example just came out last week. You know, we have a company that's local here that does terrazzo named Precision. And they're going after a $16 million terrazzo package, which would give them more of a foothold here in Columbus and Central Ohio. They're a minority contractor. You know, they're owned by an African-American man that does a lot of work here in Columbus and Central Ohio. And they budgeted the job. They put the job together for Hensel Phelps and Elford. And they were hoping to get a scope review and be brought in for an interview. They weren't even brought in for a scope review or an interview. And it looks like at this time that Hensel Phelps is leaning towards using an open shop contractor that's not MBE, not minority owned, out of North Carolina. So you figure a $16 million terrazzo job, there's about $8 to $9 million worth of wages and benefits that are going to leave this community and go to an out-of-state contractor that's going to employ out-of-state workers. So I know Mike Nisley from the Ohio State Building Trades, myself, Daryl Francis, the owner of Precision, are heavily involved doing outreach. I want to commend the county commissioners, especially Commissioner Kevin Boyce. He's made phone calls to the CEO, Joe Nardone. Mike Nisley reached out to Joe Nardone and met with him. And the folks who are in charge of procuring contracts there at the airport. And Kevin has reached out to every board member as well. And we'll see if we can get this turned. You know, this is a great opportunity for a local minority contractor to get a project that's a big terrazzo project, which is especially flooring, to partner with another minority contractor named Rome, who's currently working on the Pittsburgh airport, to bring them to town too, and just increase our minority contractor base and put local workers here to work on this, you know, almost $2 billion airport project. So it seems pretty common sense to me, but right now it seems like everywhere we're going, we're hitting a wall, and it's very, very unfortunate, very unfortunate.
Especially since you have so many people rallying on your side on this one. They're just not listening. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, is it already over budget, or they expect it to be over budget?
They expect it to be over budget. So we're in the first year of construction. So you actually don't know until the job is done, but you know, you set a budget on a project, you put bids out, you know, unfortunately there's a lot of value, what they call value engineering going on right now. That's trying to bring prices and bring costs down. There's a lot of work in Columbus and Central Ohio right now. And I get the fact that construction is at a premium and you're paying premium to get the quality workers. But, you know, that's one of the things that we discussed when we were talking about the PLA. You know, the other thing that came up in a PLA is Hensel Phelps and Elford is reaching out to union contractors who have already been awarded work on the projects and have already signed contracts. And, you know, they're asking them to work Fridays after 40 hours for straight time, which obviously we don't do. It's overtime after 8, you know, time and a half. And, you know, what I've told every contractor that's reached out to me or every contractor that's reached out to their business manager that's reached out to me is said, man, you know, this is something that could have been negotiated on the front end to with a PLA. Too bad we didn't try to do that. No, wait, we did work on doing that for almost a year. And it's like you said, going back to this Precision, you know, we have the county commissioners reaching out to the board, especially Kevin Boyce. We have the county commissioners reaching out to the CEO. And, you know, unfortunately, it seems like the problem here remains to be the constant. And that's Jim Smith from Elford, Matt McCauley from Hensel Phelps. And, you know, I just talked to Daryl Francis from Precision yesterday to get an update. And he's like, I don't know. He's like, I'm hearing this Matt McCauley's pretty obstinate. And I said, he's very obstinate. I said, the last time we talked, he told me that he didn't care how many local officials and local electeds I knew and how many I had call him, that he was not going to agree to a project labor agreement on this project. And that's just how it was going to be. So we'll see how this ends up with Precision. I hope that they're able to get at least an interview and get in and state their case. Because like I said, it would be a great opportunity for them. It would be a great opportunity for their subcontractor, Rome, to grow here in the Columbus market. I know they're already getting work with the county. I know they're already getting work with Turner, who is one of Hensel Phelps's largest competitors, and also interviewed to be the general contractor and construction manager on this airport project. So we'll see how it goes. I'll keep you updated, Flash.
Yeah, please do. It's so sad. And just that one contractor you're talking about, Precision Masonry, I heard $16 million. $16 million could have gone to wages in that area. Instead, we're talking, it's going to, was it North Carolina? Is that what you said?
So my understanding and our investigation, and, you know, we talk about this all the time, former Mayor Mike Coleman, who I know is helping out with the airport and stuff and is now a lobbyist, but it's, you know, we've said this all the time on your show, you know, Columbus is a big city, but it's still a small town. Everybody knows everything. So what we found out is that this company out of North Carolina, who, like I said, is going to bring in out of town workers, the difference in their bid between their bid and Precision on a $16 million job is $300,000. So we're talking about what, 2-3%. So I know that if they could give Daryl and Precision a meeting, a scope review, maybe that funding could be made up. And even if that funding can't be made up, what's the cost and the economic benefit to the city and the county by using a local workforce and a local diverse contractor? I would put the price tag on that as much, much more than $300,000.
Absolutely. Well, Dorsey, we'll leave it on that note. Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org. I'm going to let you get back to your hot dogs, your adult beverages. I appreciate your time on this July 4th holiday, brother. Okay?
I appreciate your time, too. Have a great Independence Day. Have a great weekend. The summer is heating up, and I know as we keep going, we'll be talking about more Reds and more Guardians baseball, and hopefully they pick it up a little bit, and maybe we could even talk about a playoff hunt in September, but we'll see.
Amen to that.